How's it going?
Good, you?
Good. Good, now that our cat has settled.
What an asshole that you had to, like, bring over a throne chair for him.
Yeah, I know. We had, like, we've been recording for almost 4 minutes now. I'm just trying to get him to settle. I finally presented him with his own seat, and he's settled. Shall we cheers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that, too. Dig it a little down. So tonight we're having kind of a lazy margarita kind of thing.
Kind of.
It's like it's tequila. I made like some lemonade and added some tequila, and then we didn't have any ice cubes, so threw some frozen mango mm-hmm. in there, a little bit of salt,
mm-hmm.
and it's tasty.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, so Risa spent the week out at the cabin and has now returned
mm-hmm.
to city life.
Yeah. Here I am.
How's it treating you?
Oh, you know, it's fine. I usually need like a little bit of time once I get home to sort of get things in order. And I haven't really got there yet. But it's all right. It's good.
The fact that when Risa goes away, I like to just like take everything off the shelves and like scatter it throughout the room and
mm-hmm.
turn over the tables and
mm-hmm.
piss on the floor.
It's taking it a little far.
Okay.
Just kidding.
So, what's the highlight of the week for you?
I don't know. Highlight of the week. There's nothing really that just like sprung out as great. I mean, that sounds wrong. I can't think of like one specific thing that's like a highlight that's like more special than any other time. It just was nice. It was nice. I had those 2 days alone.
No moment of like divine bliss where you were just like, well, this is what I was looking for.
No, some just like contentment, quietness. I didn't even like play music or anything like Tuesday. It was just quiet, no voices until I watched movies. Yeah, it was nice because it was such great weather on, what day was that? Tuesday. That was a highlight, I guess. That the weather cooperated for one day, because I got out there later than I wanted to on Monday, and on Wednesday it wasn't great weather. I woke up, it was raining, and it was kind of raining off and on and gray all day. Thursday it rained and was cool, and then Friday it was like pouring off and on. So Tuesday was nice. Sun, heat.
Sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice here too, but I was working, so. These kittens are just, we have the window open to the room that they're in. I believe that's our friend Button in there.
Yeah, probably she can hear our voices, so yeah. She's like, he's coming get me.
Yeah, she's the louder of the two. We got Button and Snap, they're both very adorable, and will be available for adoption in... How many weeks?
Well, I think they'll probably go up for adoption in like another week or so, but not available to take home for another 3 weeks.
It'll probably be very difficult for Luella. It will be a learning experience.
Yeah, big time.
Something very emotional to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she loves them very much. She's kind of obsessed. yeah. We went to Assiniboine Park today, which was very nice. Got some ice cream, sat by the duck pond.
It was really nice.
It's good to just be out among
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah. Nice just to be out of the house, and I feel like we've just been pretty homebound like everybody else, I guess, for a long time, and it's... taking its toll. We all just need some freedom.
So this is episode 21?
I don't know. Did you?
It is. No, I'm telling
it
you.
It is? Yeah,
yeah. This episode, the last one was 20. This is 21.
Wow. I wonder if this gazebo is going to make it through the summer. We have a gazebo in our backyard, and it's just taken a beating this year from the wind.
Yeah, this is the third or fourth year we've had it.
Maybe fourth, because we moved in 18, so the summer of 18, 19, 20,
all right.
This is summer 21.
Yeah, yeah. And,
I mean,
yeah.
It's been great. It's held up really well.
seems to be, really taking it from the wind this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still standing. It's all right. But one leg is pretty bent. And it, every time there's a heavy wind, it seems to move on us. Mm-hmm. We don't really have any, like, we don't have good ground for,
Staking it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of sitting free. We've got some bricks on it now on the feet. We need to name this episode, a gigantic heartbreaking fight or something like that. Really try to draw listeners in.
Why has our listenership been down?
Just been dipping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting into summertime, you know, podcast listening is probably down.
Yeah.
I feel like this isn't always, you know, it makes for a nice chat, but I don't know how riveting of a listen we almost offer up. Today so far is not feeling super riveting.
Yeah.
Our gazebo talk. But hey, that's our life. That's where we're at right now.
That's where we're at.
It's our concern at the moment. Here's something I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Portage la Prairie. I was walking by the public library.
Mm-hmm.
And it's closed. Like, I imagine public libraries throughout Manitoba probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spend much time in libraries growing up?
No.
No?
I did not. And I think that they are an underutilized service.
Mm-hmm. I did not spend a lot of time in public libraries. The closest one to my house, which I went to occasionally, was on Henderson Highway in a strip mall, and it was kind of a piddly little library, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's still there. So I didn't spend a lot of time there, but in high school and university, I spent a lot of time in the school libraries.
Oh, okay.
I would say like the majority of my time. That was where I spent in, especially university. I can remember U of W, like, basically whenever I wasn't in class, I was either in the library or I would go to my band's practice space, which was, like, above where the Goodwill is now, like, the Goodwill, the bar. I would go there and nap because we had a couch in our practice space, but in between classes and stuff, I would go to the library a lot, kind of find, like, the most tucked away little corner and take books and read there.
Yeah, university library. For sure. It was like, it's weird though, you know, you try and go and find just a quiet place to study. I found that difficult, like all over the campus, to just find a quiet place to study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to move around throughout the U of W. I would like have my spots and then something would come and like fuck it up. Like I had one spot I really liked and then all of a sudden like there was a buzzing fluorescent that wasn't being dealt with.
Oh shoot.
And I couldn't, like, I was just so sensitive to that. And then there was another one that all of a sudden I started to notice a squeak. I don't know if it was coming from a chair or what it was coming from, but it was driving me nuts. And I just never wanted anybody next to me. And, like, I just really wanted to be, like, pretty hidden, you know? They had lots of good little kind of corners you could hide in, but something would just, you know, get in there.
That's annoying.
Water torture. Yeah. I can remember at the Miles Mack Library, which is probably the one I spent the least time in. The Kelowna East Library I spent a lot of time in because I had less friends at Kelowna East. I had friends, but not as many as I did at Miles Mack. So I kind of, whenever I had a spare and stuff, that was where I would go to. But I remember at the Miles Mack Library going there and they had Helter Skelter, the book about the Manson murders.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't take it out from the library. They had it like behind the counter and it was one you could only read in the library. I don't know. But I think because it was like kind of a big hardback book, maybe just because it was sort of expensive or I don't know. Or maybe because they wanted to monitor the kids that were choosing to read that. But so I remember like, and it's a big book. So like to read it in the library, like to not be able to take it home, like it would just take a while. So there was like, you know, a good like few week stretch of me like going into the library when I had time and having to request from the librarian to get Helter Skelter and then go like find somewhere to go sit and read it. And I was thinking this librarian probably thinks I'm a weirdo.
I don't think I could commit to reading a book that I could only do in like little snippets over many weeks.
Yeah,
maybe back then. Now, no, I don't have the time like or attention for that.
I don't know if I actually ended up finishing it, but I remember reading a pretty good chunk of it
yeah.
there. And then I remember at the university, they had a lot of Hunter S. Thompson books. So I like burned through a lot of those, like a few like really like big books, some that I like own now that I would just take out from the university library and read when I probably should have been like doing other schoolwork and stuff. But
I think libraries are good for kids to go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see how that, I mean, it's got to open up again, right?
Yeah, I have a few like very vague memories of going to the one on Henderson when I was a kid, but it wasn't like a regular thing. And then I remember, because I had a library card taken out, I took out some books for, can't remember who it was, maybe like Ryan Unruh or somebody who didn't have a library card or had like late fees that they needed for some project in school. And then they like just didn't return them or like returned them super late and racked up huge late fees on my library card. So I didn't go there for, I don't think I ever went there again because I didn't want to pay my late fees.
Do they still have late fees in libraries?
I don't know. I know that I can't remember the exact story, but at the university, I had a overdue library book and didn't pay a late fee on it. And they therefore didn't send me my registration date.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then the late registration day that I could have gone for, like the first late registration day, I had already committed to going down to Minneapolis to pick up somebody. I don't know. Maybe it was like Jamil and Ryan or something like that, but I had already said I was going to do that. And the responsible thing would have probably been like, hey, guys, I can't. I need to register for university or whatever, but I didn't. So then I was like now on, you know, day two late registration and then couldn't get into a bunch of the linguistics classes I needed, which is very disheartening because I had pretty limited capacity for jumping through the hoops of the university system to begin with and like to have those kind of setbacks. I had a few of those kind of things. I remember when I was taking this Islam in the West course, and I wrote down for my exam, I wrote down like, say it was Thursday the 13th or something like that. Meanwhile, the 13th was a Wednesday. So I remember I was out, and I was doing good in that class. I think I had like an A going into it or maybe a high B plus something. I don't know. I was doing fine. Like I was doing good in it. And I was like pretty confident in the exam. So I remember being out with some friends, like having beers the night before the exam, what I thought was the night before the exam, and being like, all right, guys, I got to go home. I got to study a little bit before the exam. Meanwhile, that exam had happened hours previous.
So shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like went and talked to the prof and
he was a dink, wasn't he?
Well, not really, but he's like, well, he was going for some kind of sinus surgery like in the next couple days. So he's like, there's nothing I can do about it right now as far as like a retest. He's like, but get in touch with me. Or no, he said he would get in touch with me after the surgery or something. He like gave me a date and then he never did get in touch with me. And I probably put it off too long and then eventually emailed him and didn't get a response. And I mean, like, you know, there's like some people who would be like, well, that's not acceptable. And like would go through whatever step it takes to like get their retest. But like I say, my capacity for that kind of thing was pretty low. Like I just was not willing. So I just ended up failing this class that I like, you know.
Why were you not willing? Why did you have no capacity for it?
I mean, I don't know. I wish I could fully answer that. Like character flaw, I guess, is like the biggest reason. I also was like simultaneously going through a breakup at that time, like pretty fresh breakup happened like just before exam time that year. So that was like partially in my head, you know, distraction. And yeah, there's some like, I liked some aspects of university. I liked the learning and stuff, but like there's some things about the atmosphere that just like turned me off. And like, I don't know, I was like irrationally confrontational with, you know.
And how do you feel about university and how it relates to Luella when she is, say, 20. Like, if she were to come to you and be like, I missed my registration or something, you know? Like,
well, I mean, that's the other thing, is I had no guidance in that. Like, I did not come from a family of university goers. I did not... Yeah, I had no guidance in that. And even, like, outside, I didn't seek any sort of outside guidance, like, whether it was through my high school or anything like that, you know? And within my family, I didn't have any guidance. So that was part of it, too. So I think with Luella, I'd have a little bit more kind of a sense of, like, the realities of it. Like, I could kind of bullshit my parents and stuff because they really didn't know. And wouldn't get on my case about things, you know?
Right.
And so Luella wouldn't be able to bullshit us as easily, I think. And as far as, like, yeah, like, if she's... So that's assuming she's already in university and is just kind of being, like, lazy about it. Which I wasn't late. Like, I wasn't lazy. Like, I was a good student. And I worked hard at the school part of it. It was the... things like registration and that kind of stuff, you know, that was like, that was where I fell out, you know, but like I aced tests and papers and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
As far as her like choosing to go to university, I guess it kind of depends on the world we're living in at that point and like how relevant that seems. I mean, we have some like some money, like we have whatever, like an account that like requires her to go to, you know, to at least register for post-secondary schools at the very least to access that, but that's like, you know, that's way in the future kind of concerns. What were your feelings around university
in relation to me or her?
I guess both.
Well, I believe that there is a lot of merit in having to pay for your university courses. Now, that being said, if we were in a position, which I hope we would be, I don't think it's realistic nowadays. I mean, I know people do it, but to like pay for your whole life, you know, and university and all that stuff. Like, I'd like to be able to be like, hey, you can live at home. And, you know, like, we'll pay your car insurance and stuff. But you need to pay for at least part of your university. Or you need to maintain a minimum of, like, a B average. Like, because I had both, like, I started a university, I think, when I was 19. And it was only because I thought that I should, not because I wanted to or knew what I wanted to do. And I didn't have to pay for it. I had money from my grandma. And I also didn't have really any guidance or anybody like checking up to see how it was going. And I like did all these courses and then 6 weeks before the semester's done, like voluntarily withdrew from everything and didn't, you know, either like blew it with a bad mark or just like VW'd. And it's just it was a big waste of money. And then I took some more time off. And then I went back and then I actually like did okay because I went back with a plan and like with sort of an idea of what I wanted to do and what I wanted the end game to be. And then I ended up leaving because I got a job at Wildlife Haven. And to me, that was like, that could have been the be all end all. And then when I left there and decided I was going to go into nursing, it was just very annoying because I had my 20-year-old GPA following me, which was not great. I don't know what it was, probably like C or plus or something, because I got an F in a class and a D. And not that I couldn't do it, but because I was lazy. And like you say, like I also didn't have the guidance for that. Right. And for me not paying for it, I was like, I don't care. I got nothing invested in this, really. So then when I decided to go into nursing, the admission requirements are strictly GPA based, which is infuriating and really, really dumb. So I went and I took some courses to try and boost my GPA and did really well. I got like A's in my classes. But then I realized I'm like, I'm going to have to do this for like 2 or 3 years, spending all this money to boost my GPA to apply and hopefully then get into a 4-year program. And like, just, I just felt time closing in on me. I was like 30 and like, I don't want to do this. So that's why I took the LPN program, and I got in right in time. Like, I didn't have to wait, and it was very handy that I took those courses because it lightened my load. I did have to pay. I had to get student loans, which I'm still paying off. So I definitely took it a lot more seriously. But also incurred more debt because I also had like an established life at 30 versus, you know, sucking off the teat of living at home at 20.
Yeah. But it's you really did like, sorry, don't mean to cut you off, but you really like buckled down hard, you know, and like.
Yeah, because everything was like 80% pass.
Mm-hmm. I remember like
crazy
when you first started, like not because of anything to do with like, you know, how I felt about your character or anything, but like it did really feel like there was a lot riding on it. Like it felt like a big thing to throw yourself into, and like just kind of where we were at and like financially and everything. And it was like, this is going to be how things are going to be for the next little while. Like, I'm going to be the primary, like, income, you know, while you're in school, because you're going to basically be, you know, you did do a little bit of working throughout it, right? Like,
nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
I thought you, like, at some point picked up.
I tutored.
Okay. So
that's the only, like, very minimal income that I made. Right. But I didn't work. Because we had practicums and stuff, too, and, like, we didn't really have very much time off. Yeah, it was a very, but that was it. I had no plan B. I'm like, if I don't do this, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I also like was really good at the school part of it and like really immersed myself in the whole experience. So it just became like my life. Like it was hard, but it was, that was where, you know, I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So it worked out well.
That was another thing with my university, is that I did pay for the most part. Trish gave me some money 1 year to help pay for some of my tuition, but for the most part, I paid for all of it. I never did any sort of student loans or anything. And so throughout university, I continued to work almost full-time hours most of the time, plus go to class, plus band practice at least 2 nights a week, often a show on the weekend, show weeks. We often would do a third band practice. Like, I was spread pretty thin then, which is kind of like, I think, you know, a situation I tend to get myself in a lot, I think, is just like taking on more than I should. Yeah. So I think all that didn't help, but I don't know what it was. I think some of it was insecurity that I felt like there, but I didn't make friends for the most part in university, you know, and didn't really want to. I perceived vibes off of like a lot of the people I encountered that I just didn't like. I got a lot of like car salesman vibes off of dudes I would encounter, you know, like
interesting.
I
never made friends in university either. I definitely always felt like a loner, like a sort of like just there on the periphery of what is supposed to be this great experience. And
yeah, I definitely never had any of like that, the university experience.
And it was so big. See, that's why like going to college was so different, because, you know, our class was so small and we all knew each other. And that also, there was a lot of problems with that. But I still preferred it over the giant university classes.
Yeah, I got into the education program, but I never really kind of bonded with people in the education faculty. And then beyond that, I did a fair amount of jumping around. And then, so therefore, like, kind of spent a lot of my time in sort of first, second year courses, you know? And I think it probably changes a little bit as the courses get a little more specialized and you get to kind of know the people in your faculty and stuff, you know? Which I never really got to that point. There was a handful of people, and some, like, I had a couple linguistics classes, so there was, like, some crossover. between some of those that I got to know, but they're still like those sort of sprawling, like first year kind of course, you know, class sizes. And
that's the thing, is you really got to get through that first year and then find where you fit. And then it, because I remember when I went back in my mid 20s and I was taking all the, I went back to do zoology, but then by that time, zoology was no longer a thing. It just fell under the umbrella of biological sciences. So I went into that department and the classes were smaller there, but I ended up taking an invertebrates course and then an advanced invertebrates. The advanced class, I was way out of my league. It was all like master's students, like doing their thesis and stuff. And I had never even written a research paper before. But it was a very small class and I liked it. And that was when I was like, oh, I get, like, this could be cool, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I think probably the class where I sort of like bonded a little bit with a group was a creative writing class that I took. Because that, that was a smaller class. And it also involved a lot of pairing up and stuff, you know, which kind of forces you to get to know the other students. Like there's a lot of, you know, getting into groups. So it was just in general, it was pretty like social. Otherwise I had some classes where there was people that I was already friends with in those classes. So I just kind of stuck with them and didn't, you know, venture out and try to make new friends. And then a lot of the other ones, I really just, you know, back of the room, tuck myself in the corner. Mm-hmm. Like that's always how I've been in, you know, everything, whether it's like restaurants or classes or whatever. It's like, I want to be like where I can see everybody kind of like in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really make a lot of friends. I remember first day of my like first year anthropology class, I like came in. And there was some girl who was like, hey, sit here. Like, I don't know. I was just like walking in looking for a place to sit. And I was like, okay. Just somebody who was obviously like a good kind of friendly, like, this is our first day. Let's make friends kind of thing. So I like talked a little bit. And then another guy came and like sat on the other side of her and started like getting in there and chatting and like definitely had like the car salesman vibes and like pretty soon like they were the conversation and I was like out, you know. And then and then like the next day I like got there first and then I remember her like coming in and then like looking and then like went and like just sat somewhere else, you know. And it was just like, oh, I'm like, and it wasn't like a, you know, like I whatever, like it wasn't like a boy girl thing, you know. It was like I had a girlfriend at the time. It wasn't like that kind of thing, but it was just, I don't know, it just felt so weird where I was like, I don't think I did anything to like I got a vibe where she was like, I'm actively not going to sit beside that guy or something like that. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I was, seemed rude that I was too quiet or something. I don't know. I still like to this day don't know what that situation was, but I feel like I, you know, exchanged pleasantries and then was quickly steamrolled by dude two and, like, and then kind of just like backed off and that was it.
I mean, maybe she was looking for something more than you were putting out.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe that came off as coldness because I wasn't looking for that or something. I don't know. But yeah, that was like one of my university experiences. I had friends most of the time I was there. Like my first year of university, I spent a lot of time with Will and Paulo. We just like wandered around downtown all over the place. And
did you only go to U of W?
Yeah. I had even worse associations with U of M because
the Parkade lineup. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, like, not so much that stuff, but just the girl I was dating who was like student council at U of M, and like I hated the student council people at U of M and would go to the student council like parties and stuff like that. and like, yeah, the insecurities and the just kind of like repulsion that I felt like was like tripled with among that crew, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, U of M gave me bad vibes.
I remember befriending this young girl in, I think, my anatomy and physiology class. And she had to be, like, she was young. Like, I mean, it's a first year class, so she was, I don't know, like, maybe she was only 18, 19, maybe 20 tops. And I was, like, 30. And just in her eyes, I just had all of this, like, wisdom. And I remember her telling me, do you remember me telling you about this? And she was, like, telling me her... her boy problems, and she was...
Oh, was she the one whose, like, mom was going to teach you how to cook Indian food?
Yeah. So I guess it was, like, there's something to do with, like, she had a boyfriend, but it didn't really, like, mesh with their culture and whatever, and yeah. I was just like, okay. And then she brought me all this Indian food and painted my nails and just, like,
remember that, yeah.
Really, like, it was very bizarre. It was very sweet. I was like, yeah, I'd love some cooking lessons, but, I mean, that never happened, and we never... stayed connected. It was very much a one-off, but yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, I do like occasionally miss some of the classroom part. I feel like I learned a lot of very valuable things in
yeah?
class in university, you know, like I feel like my knowledge grew a lot, but not that, like you say, like, you know, there is this kind of thing about like, oh, like my lasting friendships like came from college or university or whatever, you know, like that was not my experience at all. It was like going off and like partying with your university. Like I had that in like high school. It's like my junior high, my high school friends. Those are like who became my lifelong friends. Like I don't have any like new friends from university I kept in touch with, you know, like there's people I would be friendly with in class. I think maybe once I had to do like an outside of class group project where I got together with some people, you know, and that was it. But like, yeah, like no lasting friendships that came from my university years. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite class you took?
I mean, I liked when I went to the biological sciences and took like invertebrates and chordates and advanced invertebrates. And there was a course, but now I can't remember what it was called. It was at U of W because I went there first and then to U of M. What the heck? I don't remember what it was called, but I liked it. And I really liked the prof. He was like super approachable, nice guy. And I remember talking to him being like, yeah, I want to go into zoology. And he was the one that was like, you have to go to U of M and take biological sciences. And like, he knew like what the drill was.
Yeah.
I can't for the life of me remember the class, but I really liked it. Oh, well.
I think the class that I probably got the most, like, sort of, like, intellectually involved in was probably my critical theory class. It was, I found it very fascinating, and it really kind of, like, opened up a lot of, like, new worlds to me. You know, it was just sort of like a real sort of broad overview of all these different kind of like schools of like, you know, different readings that you could sort of apply to whatever text, you know, like an overview of feminism and deconstructionism and all these things, you know.
That sounds like it would be helpful for me to take now.
It's,
you know.
Yeah, it was like a class that I really like enjoyed talking about or learning more about in between class and stuff not related to the actual assignments, and continued to read our textbook afterwards, like even the parts we didn't cover in class and stuff, you know.
Was that a soft cover green textbook you still have, I think, right?
It's kind of a pale green at the bottom, I think, yeah. And then it's got some sort of a picture on top, yeah. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, now I find a lot of that stuff a little exhausting or even like eye-rolly and stuff, but I'm glad that I learned it. And I remember like writing a few papers in that class, and I remember one paper where I like used Bjork as an example and like felt kind of like, is this like this is weird to like do this. And then like in my feedback from my prof was like saying that I like should have explored this even further, and was like very encouraging and like had like other things to say about Bjork. And I'm like, that's like cool, you know, mm-hmm. at the time thinking like that's like a neat thing to have your prof encourage you to talk more about Bjork in your in yeah. your paper. Yeah
It's I really hope that throughout her education, however wherever it leads her, she encounters some really good solid teachers throughout all her levels, you know.
Yeah It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I last time I was at my mom's, I was looking for something in some of her drawers, and I stumbled upon some elementary pictures. I found one in my grade 4 like group like class shot with Mr. Zubricki, who I was talking about in episode 1, who like singled me out in the assembly about my perfect score on the math test. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. And I was like, oh, Mr. Zubricki. It was weird to see his face like yeah. in the picture. Yeah.
Who's the teacher that you interviewed for Take a Seat?
Mr. Lynch. Yeah.
And what was his deal again?
He's just an interesting guy. He was like an old guy who taught all of my siblings. Just an old Irish guy. Yeah, I wouldn't say he was like a teacher I was especially close with, but he was just like a very, just an old teacher who'd been at it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really cared about it, you know, like I remember like there was a thing. When we were in junior high, there was a federal election going on. And I remember, like, I was in one of two. It was mostly a French immersion school I went to, but there was two English classes for every grade. So I was in one of the two English classes. And somebody who was in the other one, who had, like, had whatever class with him the slot before, was like, just bring up the election. He'll talk about it all class. You don't have to do any, like, school stuff. And, like, so that was how it was framed in junior high. But I think it's cool because really that's what we did. Like, we just like said, somebody said something about the federal election, and he really just threw out, he taught us both math and social studies. So I can't remember which class it was, but whatever class, he just threw out whatever the lesson was that day and just like really like got into the importance of this election and like breaking stuff down for us. And, which I guess was cool.
I just thought of something when you're talking about like the importance. So when I was in high school for grade 10 and 11, I took pre-calc math. And then grade 12, I took applied math, which is like the level down. And the one below that one is consumer. But I think in applied, I got 57%. And a lot of external shit going on in grade 12, which negatively impacted my school experience. So when I applied for nursing, I had to take math for nurses, and you had to get a 98% on that. It's like a no calculator, you know, grade 6 math kind of deal but it applies to like drug dosing. It's like long division and yada yada. But to get in, you had to have at least 60% in grade 12 math, whatever it was. And I was like, well, fuck.
I think I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. Fuck. Like, does it matter that I took a higher level of math and did well? And then just this, it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was in grade 12, I got 57%. So I had to search for an adult ed place so that I could retake my grade 12 math at the same time taking this math for nurses in the evening. So the only place I found that I could fit it in was the Manitoba Métis Federation. And I did not want to put really any effort into this. So I was also in university at the time, because I know that I had exams in like my AMP coming up. So I signed up for the consumer math class, and it's just so much more relevant and helpful. Like, that kind of stuff should just be taught all the time. Yeah. Like as like frowned upon as a consumer math.
I switched from pre-calculus in grade 12. I started in that and then switched to consumer math. And I was like, a big chunk of it was learning how to do your taxes. And like basically until I started truck driving and it got a little more complicated, I always just did my own taxes because I learned how to do it there, you know. And
learn like mortgages and what everything means, like life stuff. Yeah. I remember like I never finished the class. The guy, I was like doing very well in it. And it was all distance kind of stuff. Then you go in, write the test, and the teacher emailed me, and I'm like, what's my mark right now? And he's like, oh, it's like, I don't know, 64. This is probably like a third or a half the way through. I was okay, I'm done. Like, he knew the situation. I'm like, can I just not finish it? Like, I have all this other stuff going on, and I just need to, can we just, like, cap it? And he's like, don't you want to get an A? Like, that's what you're on track for. And I was like, no. I'm like, I really don't. Like, I'm like, this is, in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, and I think I had said, like, no disrespect to you or the course or anything. I'm like, but I have university classes I'm enrolled in that I'm taking this, and I'm like, I really just...
It's not personal, it's business.
It's not personal, it's business. So that was that. But yeah, I just being like, this is the stuff that we should be learning.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, because I was like good in math. For like, I mean, it's obviously whatever, elementary, it's easy, but nonetheless, like I did good through then and throughout junior high and stuff. But so when I like decided to make the switch from, it wasn't pre-calculus and consumer, it was S and G. It was like before they changed it to that, you know. But like when I decided to switch to G math, I remember just like a few people being like, why, like why would you do that, like you're a smart guy, like you're like, you know, just get the S credit. And I was just like, ah, it's like this stuff's just stupid, and like I don't, it's gonna take so much work. And then I like my English lit class and stuff like that, and I'm like, I want to be able to focus my attention to that more than like worrying about imaginary numbers and shit. Like I'm like, this, I'm like, I just don't care about this. And this, if I take this class, I know that this is where all my mental energy is going to go to. And like I just cared more about other classes that I liked more and like wanted to be able to focus on, because I wasn't like the most disciplined student. So I know, I'm like, I know that something's going to get sacrificed, and I didn't want it to be English lit and psychology and stuff like that. I'm like, I'll just take the, and like ultimately way more practical.
Exactly.
Though it did hurt me in that I had to get an additional S credit when I applied for university, because I was short one, because I can't remember what it was. At some point psychology counted as an S credit, and then they changed it, and it was only counted as a G or something like that. Like it used to be a university entry level course in the class, and then it wasn't. So then I took a Western Civ course at the collegiate at U of W, which is great. And I was like, man, if I like had grown up rich, it would have been great to like,
no, I'd love to be able to offer that to Lou.
Yeah, it was very, cause it was like 11 or 12 people in the class and like all kind of sitting in a circle, and like I learned so much more in that Western Civ class than like I did in so many of my other high school classes I took, you know, just so much more conducive to like being engaged.
I think my mom went there.
Nice. Change of subject. I got a PSA that I've been meaning to bring up for a while. Any Duke, come on now. No one wants to listen to you. To anybody out there who is also fans of the Great British Bake Off and has burned their way through all the seasons and is thinking, well, maybe I'll check out some other countries' great Bake Offs. And you think, oh, Australia, they speak English. That could be all right. I don't mind Australians. Don't do it.
No.
It sucks.
Sucks hard.
It's brutal. It's terrible. Terrible. It seems maybe Ireland is the way to go. I did a little bit of reading afterwards, but it's also proving hard to find. Though we haven't worked too hard at it.
I don't remember looking for it at all.
Did a little bit, but Yeah, so we might just have to wait until I think it's the British one's coming back in September. But yeah, and we also went back finally. The very last season we watched was the first season. Oh, so we skipped it before, and that was a rough watch too. It was like two different.
Did we finish it?
I don't think we finished it. No, we couldn't. We couldn't do it.
It's surprising being so awful that it was renewed, but then just got like a huge facelift and was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Canada. Canada was rough. Like the first two seasons were all right when Dan Levy and whoever the other woman was were hosting it. Third season was bearable with like those two women from whatever that sketch show is, Baroness von Sketch Show or whatever. They were okay, but season four was like it was unwatchable. Again, like I couldn't do it.
Finish one episode, it was so bad.
Yeah. Apologies if anybody we know worked on it. It's fucking rough. So there we go. There was that. I'm trying to think if I got any other heads up. If I got any podcast recommendations or anything. I don't think so. I haven't picked up Anna Karenina again. I actually listened to a different audiobook, which is okay, but I kind of feel like it was a little bit of a waste of my credit. I just got like this like Chuck Klosterman book that was like very short and like would have been cheap to just buy. I feel like I should use my Audible credits on like the more expensive big books. But I just in the moment wanted like none of the podcasts were doing it for me, and I wanted something pretty light and pretty easy to listen to, and I was like, oh, Chuck Klosterman's always like somewhat entertaining and easy.
Is he the reader, the narrator?
Yeah, and it's actually like he doesn't actually read the book word for word. He kind of like summarizes the it's like a collection of essays that he had written, and he kind of like summarizes them and talks about different things, which was like all right, but also like a little disappointing. I could have done with a little more meat. Kind of maybe didn't get into them quite enough. Some of his reasoning is like there's like a lot of interviews and stuff, and he doesn't want to do impressions and stuff, and that I don't know, that kind of felt like I don't know, it was just a little disappointing way to spend my monthly credit.
I read Geek Love at the Lake.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Very entertaining. Recommend it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Perhaps I'll get to that. That's a good one. Someday. Some year.
It's interesting, very interesting story. You know? It's really mosquito season now.
I haven't had a bite yet, I don't think.
Just watching them land on you. There's one right there on your leg.
Piss off. Well, what do you got? You got anything?
Honestly, not really. I'm kind of fading, feeling a bit tired.
Okay. Well, you guys got the university app this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Come back next week. We'll be on fire that week. Do you work next weekend?
No.
No?
I'm on holidays right now. That's exciting.
There you go.
But I got to go back to work on Wednesday.
All right. Well, let's pack this gear up.
All right.
Pack this cat up, blow these candles out, and head inside. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Microphone 600? What do you think? We went 800 last week. We'd gone 400 the week before, and then we felt pretty good about last week.
375?
375. Let's go 375. A little low this week, plus, like, we were feeling pretty good about last week, but... The listeners said no about last week. So maybe it was the episode title. I don't know what it was, but they said not interested. So we'll go 375.
All right.
And, email somebody you love.
Mm-hmm. Tell them hello and tell them that you love them.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.